Psalm 73. A psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion for ever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Amen. Well, Psalm 73 begins the third division of the book of Psalms. It also begins a collection of psalms that were penned by Asaph the seer. Asaph apparently wrote 12 psalms altogether. He wrote Psalm 73 to Psalm 83, and then Psalm 50, which we have looked at earlier. Well, we have no doubt that Asaph, like David, wrote in the spirit of Christ, so that every of his songs in the Psalter may be sung meaningfully by those who are united to Christ. They sometimes express the sentiments of Christ, such as Psalm 75, 77, 78, 81, so that we can sing in union with Christ, who is our head. At other times, they express the desires and conflict of the church in a way that Christ our Lord may sing in union with us as his body. Well, Psalm 73 is one such psalm. it is not directly about the Messiah, but it's about the Messiah's people. You see that in verse 10, where his people is referred to. This psalm expresses the conflict and perplexity that the average child of God would experience as he walk in this world, being in this world but not of this world. We may entitle this psalm "The Saint's Anguish and the Lord's Answer." Well, very broadly, this psalm has three parts. From verse 1 to verse 16, we have the saint's anguish. From verses 17 to 22, we have the Lord's answer. And from verse 23 to the end, we have the saint's assurance. Consider first the saint's anguish. Now, anguish or perplexity usually begins with expectation. If we have no expectation, we will have no perplexity. But expectations have their proper place in the Christian life. While we should not have too much expectation for men, because that will cause us to be very discouraged, we ought to have great expectation for the Lord. Indeed, we have reasons to expect great things from the Lord, because he is sovereign, good, and just. And we ought to have great expectation from him, because he has promised to do good, to bless those who walk in holiness and in truth. Well, this is the assertion that our psalm opens with. Verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Now, this is a biblical truism, which is why it begins with the word truly. God is always good to his covenant people. And he is especially kind to those who are sincere and holy in their walk. But experience teaches us, does it not, that things are not always as smooth and clear-cut as we hope them to be. Sometimes, while we are seeking to walk in all honesty, we get into all sorts of trouble. Whereas unbelievers who live without any regard for God or his law appear to be enjoying God's blessing in their life. When this happens, it can be a matter of great perplexity and anguish in the heart of believers who put so much effort to walk in that straight and narrow way. Indeed, it can be so perplexing and vexing the heart that even believers can be tempted to give up walking with the Lord. This is what we read in verse 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Why continue to walk with purity of heart when there does not seem to be any benefit, whereas those who do not care about God seem to be prospering in their life? For there are no bands in their death, verse 4, but their strength is firm. We expect that the wicked at their death would feel a torment and guilt and frustration, such that it is like having constricting bands around them. But no, many of them seem to die with dignity and with strength, so that when we hear how many of the wicked cry out for forgiveness, cry out that they to be spared from hell at death, at the same time we also sometimes see that some of the wicked seem to die with such dignity. Indeed, the wicked often seem to be free from the common problems that plague mankind, including believers. So that verse 5, And so they become proud and self-confident. They continue to do wickedly and continue to do violence. Verse 6, they become rich in the things of the world. Verse 7, and so they persist on in wickedness. Verse 8, even having the audacity to blaspheme God. Verse 9. And this happens, and yet they seem to be experiencing temporal blessings. God's people, especially those who have been hurt by the conduct of these, begin to look back at their life and say, is it worth it? Is it worth it to walk in the way that we have walked? Is it worth it to walk in a narrow way? And those who care not about God are prospering. Therefore, verse 10, therefore, his people, that is the Lord's people, return hither, they turn back, look, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them, and they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? They, the Lord's people, try so hard to walk in righteousness, and yet they have been rewarded with tears enough to fill a cup. Does God not know? Does he care about what is going on? Who are those who prosper in the riches of this world? Who are those who suffer? It seems to be incongruous. Verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. In vain have I washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. It does not seem right. It seems so unfair. But to talk like that seem to border on blasphemy. And it can be a stumbling block to the children in the covenant. The children in the generation of the Lord. Or the generation of the Lord's children. So this is very perplexing. Verse 15. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Something that vexed my heart so much, he's saying. I sinned, and I tempted even to give up my walk. I cannot talk about it. It's so painful for me. Or is this your perplexity too, brothers and sisters in the Lord, children? Is there an answer to this perplexity? Is there an answer to this anguish of heart? Surely there is. For consider the Lord's answer in the second part of this song. The Lord's answer came for the psalmist not through a still small voice. Came rather either through the preaching of the Word of God or through the work of the Holy Spirit, bringing to remembrance something else which the Lord had said elsewhere. This reminder was triggered during the use of the means of grace. So it could be as they hear the word preach, as they hear prayer in a public worship in a sanctuary, or even as they are there quietening themselves down, listening, and the Spirit brings to mind the answer to the vexation in the heart. Verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. such vexation in my heart that I have no rest, that I'm assaulted at all sides with all sorts of temptation, until I went to the house of God, to the sanctuary. Then the Lord gave me a glimpse and helped me to understand things in a better perspective. What is the Lord's answer? Verse 18. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awakes. So, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. It's a response in prayer to what the Lord brings to mind. Yes, Lord, I begin to understand now. Why the wicked seem to be doing so well? The answer is found in the fact that things are not always as they appear. Or in the words of Solomon, the book of Ecclesiastes, there is more to life than what may be seen under the sun. The fact is, God in his long suffering often allows the wicked to go unpunished in this life. And so he appears to be sleeping. But God never sleeps. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The day will come when he will rise in judgment, like a man awaking from his sleep. And when that happens, he'll deal with the wicked with perfect justice, with unmistakable finality. And the wicked shall be cursed into destruction, consumed by terror, made to experience the wrath of God for all eternity. Indeed, we may infer that the wealth and prosperity of the wicked would, as it were, sink the wicked deeper into the lake of fire. Every day that the wicked does not repent of his sin, every day that he does not acknowledge God, he is treasuring up for himself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Even when God allows the wicked, as you were, to prosper in the things of this world, when they do not repent, it is not good for them. The riches that they have, that makes them begin to trust in themselves and the riches of this world, becomes a snare to their soul, becomes the very weight that sinks them into utter destruction. So the psalmist, as he reflects on this, continues, verse 21, thus my heart was grieved, I was pricked in my reins. My emotions, the reins refer to the kidneys. In those days, in a Hebrew language, the kidneys speaks of the heart of the emotion. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. What a sobering thought. How foolish it is to envy the wicked, to question God. Thank God that he does not cast us away despite our foolishness. At times when we forget and we begin to sing like animals, and we begin to question God. Yet God does not forsake us. He brings us to remember who he is and what he's doing in the world. And he gives us the assurance of his love. So consider finally the saint's assurance from verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. While the wicked may enjoy wealth and prosperity for a season, the righteous is continually before the Lord and constantly being upheld by the power of God. They are led by the counsel of God that ensures that all things work together for their good every moment of their lives. And not only so, they are being led, as it were, by the hand to the celestial city where they would one day enjoy the full weight of eternal glory forever and ever. For this reason, the child of God may enjoy the deepest assurance that there can be no greater and more lasting blessedness than to trust in the Lord and to serve Him. Verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion for ever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. For there is little that needs to be, there is little that needs to be said by way of explanation of this very beautiful refrain. The saint whose sins are forgiven in Christ and who is thinking aright can find no greater joy in anyone or anything, whether in heaven or in earth, beside the Lord. Heaven is joyless without the Lord. Earth is meaningless without Him. Let us learn in moments when our hearts fail to turn to the Lord, to rest in Him. Times when we've experienced losses in our life, things that we treasure that are lost, be it friendship, be it our possession, our jobs, our health. Such times when we discourage and when we look around and say, why is it the wicked seems to be prospering? And we're tempted to ask, why me? Then let us learn to turn to the Lord. Come back to this psalm and sing this refrain again, to see how the Lord will vindicate His saints and how the wicked will be punished. And so let us draw near to Him, to trust Him, to live for Him honestly, to testify for Him to all who will hear. Thank God for this psalm. Thank God for answering the anguish and perplexity in our hearts when we see the wicked prospering and the godly suffering. Thank God for giving us words to express the vexation in our heart. We don't have to feel guilty to express these things, because it's the word of God for us to express those vexation in our heart. But thank God for the answer that we can use to sing to, that we may have confidence in our heart that the Lord will see to it, that those who walk in His ways, trusting the Lord, relying on the finished work of the cross, will have the final victory. May the Lord grant us help to use this psalm, that we may chase away those fretful thoughts. And when we get distracted by the wind and the waves, or by the roaring of that lion that prowls about, waiting to devour whom he will, let us use this psalm to encourage our heart. God is still in control. Amen. So we sing this song.